You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
With myself.
And the song that I sing is of moonlight. I stand and I wait
for the touch.
For the touch of your hand in the June.
Well, we're not in June anymore.
The road.
We are in the clutches of a very hot August. Very hot August. Right now in New York, like the heat index was about 106 at some point today. All of my clients after 12, I rescheduled to early tomorrow morning before my workout. I hope it storms so badly tomorrow. We need something just to cool this off. Although, you know what's been happening with the storms lately? The storms will roll in, and it'll be vicious. Thunder, lightning, the whole mess. And you go outside afterwards, after the storm lets up, and you're like, okay, look, I want to see how cool it is. And it's like you need gills. To go outside, you would need gills. It gets like 3 times as humid. You know when that happens? What the hell is the difference between a rain shower that results in a cool breaking of the heat and those that just compound the problem? Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Where the storm arrives from.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
So if it comes from this...
This is probably coming from southwesterly direction.
But what is
and it's so hot, it's just keeping the Canadian jet stream up above us, which is resulting in higher temperatures. That's science.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I'm probably right. I don't know.
You know what, Matt? There's probably...
Gadget, Doc. He'll know.
Gadget, maybe somebody old know, but... I don't know. I would have to get proof of that. But I would say this. You said it very convincingly. And I was actually listening to what you were saying and thinking about the probability of this actually being true. And the way you explained it, it actually sounds right. You know, you said southwesterly or southeasternly?
It's coming from the southwest.
So from, like, San Diego?
I don't know. It's coming from wherever it's cold, from the south. Maybe just coming straight up from the Gulf of Mexico or something. It's coming straight up.
Yeah, but storms...
And it's just so overpowering to the Canadian Gulf Stream that it's keeping it at bay towards late summer.
Well, in either case, whenever we're talking about summer in the wintertime, how we can't wait for it to get warm again... We are never talking about this. This is useless heat. This heat just like some extreme cold. You know, a couple months from now, we're going to be talking about, you know, negative 15, not 115. This heat is just like extreme cold, man. It's useless weather. You can't do anything outside. You can't stay exposed. You can't do anything strenuous. I don't know how you do your thing, man. On days like today, you were crawling in like crawl spaces today?
Today?
In attics and shit like that?
I went in a couple attics. I don't think I went in any crawl spaces.
Get a little closer to that, yeah. No crawl spaces?
No.
Were those attics stifling?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
My arms drip from the fucking sweat when it's hot like that, bro. People are like, you want water? I'm like, no, I'm all right.
But you're not all right. See, when you do, you just... No, but listen. Next time somebody says, you want some water? Say, actually, that'd be great. But not because you have to admit that you're thirsty. Just because that's actually water that's coming out of you, man. It's coming out of you, which means you lost it. You have to put it back in.
I got more. I sweat all day, bro. I don't stop.
And how often do you drink?
I think today I had, like, my little, like, drink that I had in the morning. And then maybe, like, a couple of Poland Springs.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not that bad. Probably need a couple more Poland Springs.
I'm all right.
Okay. That's good.
I stop and get hose water sometimes at jobs.
See, this reminds me of my grandfather.
Just gotta let it run for like 30 seconds and you're good.
Drinking from hoses, yard work, manual labor type of stuff, that was good. I remember I had to take when I was really little, my grandfather, we were up at Lion Park, and I told him I had to go to the bathroom. And that was when they didn't have the bathrooms open there. Now they're open during the days. And I had to shit behind a bush in Lion Park. And I remember he wiped my ass with like the handkerchief, the paper towel he always had on him, because he was always wiping his own mouth and stuff. And whatever. I remember I had to have been like maybe 3. I just remember thinking, this doesn't feel right. Like, it's weird not having something to sit on. You know?
That's funny.
Very weird. Very, very weird. Have you ever shit in like woods or anything like that?
No.
You've only ever shit in toilets? And diapers?
I never used diapers.
As a kid, I mean.
I never remember using diapers. I never used them.
Yeah, well, you can't remember things.
I remember everything, bro. I never asked for them.
Well, obviously, I wasn't wearing diapers. Because he would have just let me shit in my pants. We'll take care of it later. I told him I had to go to the bathroom and I had to take care of it. So I obviously wasn't diaper age. But then again, I got off of diapers really quick. Anthony was actually turned away from St. Paul's pre-K, the one that I went to.
I went to there.
Because he still wasn't out of diapers at like close to age 4. I think he's like 3 and a half or something like that.
And he was still shitting himself.
And he was still shitting in diapers. He refused to learn how to shit on the toilet. So I used to, you know, every once in a while I'd poke fun at him that he got, the first school he got rejected from was preschool because he wasn't shitting in the toilet. But then again, he never got rejected from schools. The first and only school that rejected him was the first one, the pre-K. Yeah. But in either case, I was just thinking about that, the heat that we don't choose. We tend to think of summer days as just chill, warm. It's definitely warm in the sun, maybe a little intense on some days, but really good tan weather. Not this. But moving on from there, I don't know what else to talk about. I just went to Elevation Burger before I came here because I had to have something. I only had a I had some turkey and Swiss around 12:30. I only had half of the roll. I really didn't have an appetite today. And then I took the whole food supplement, some magnesium, because the whole food supplement doesn't have a lot of magnesium in there, and that fish oil. I think I swigged a little bit too much fish oil, man, because I have been gradually more and more nauseous as the afternoon has progressed. Unless I'm getting violently ill. Don't tell yourself that right now, Frank.
Maybe you have Zika, bro.
Don't say that, because I will run with that right now and I'll have a massive anxiety attack. Then you're going to have that on your hands.
Shit's not around here, bro. It's in Stanford. It's not around here.
No, it doesn't matter. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be Zika. You know how many things I make up? Sometimes. I've been good with that lately. I haven't been caring lately. What was I going to say? What was I just talking about?
Said we're talking about Zika.
Before that, what led that? Oh, what the fuck was it? What led to that? Come on, man, remember. Come on, dude.
I'll remember once you remember.
No, man, that's not right.
I'm trying to remember, bro. No, see, so much shit going on and so much shit.
What are you talking? You're sitting right in front of me.
Dude, I'm being implicated in a double murder fucking robbery. Home invasion or whatever.
Double murder?
Yeah, that's not a murder.
Not a murder, but it's just a robbery?
Yeah.
Well, so what happened? You got a call today from the police?
Yesterday.
And what'd they say?
Someone broke into a house that I was doing a job at in April, and it happened on July 21st.
Okay.
So I just had to go and answer the detective's questions and shit. You know, answer his bullshit questions. A nice guy. You know, whatever. But I just handed him my schedule from that day. I wasn't even in Larchmont.
And then what'd he say? All right, you're off the hook, kid.
Nah, I wasn't even a suspect. He was just covering all the bases, and I guess that the homeowner was telling him, like, people that's been inside the house doing work or whatever. But the same day I was there, some, like, electrician...
What was missing again?
I didn't even ask.
Shit.
But it sounded like money. I think it was...
They found a safe?
Nah, I don't know. I didn't ask.
Man.
I even told him, like, dude, my fingerprints are on file from when I got arrested. My fingerprints
are on fire, man.
But then he's like, they're actually not. I guess they looked for it. I got my fingerprints taken off of the file.
Yo, and that's how your day's been.
And, you know.
Yeah. Today, so you went there, you handed it all in, and now you're off the hook.
I hope so.
Well, that's good. You're fine. Because you didn't do it.
But then the dude said, he said that someone said they saw me. I don't know if he was talking about the other worker or one of the dudes that lived there. I'm like, what do you mean?
You've been found out then. You're lying to all of us.
Nah, but I showed him the thing. I showed him my schedule. And I went through the schedule and it happened at maybe around 11 o'clock. So they had a break in. I think they broke in. Literally, like, broke in.
Does the house have security cameras on it?
No. Nice house.
They should put security cameras on it.
It was nice. It was a $1,500 job.
There should definitely be a camera at every entrance with a house that big and nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
You could be your own spy, your own intelligence agency.
He was asking me, like, questions. He's like, have you ever been arrested before? Have you been in trouble? I'm like, yeah, you know. I had to tell him, like, I'm arrested for weed, you know, before.
Yo.
And he's like, do you do drugs? I'm like, yeah, I smoke weed sometimes. Then he's like... would you ever have to steal money or anything for it? I'm like, no. Like, I get paid good. I don't have to steal for it.
I pay good, man. I'm fucking stoned right now.
I wasn't stoned when I went there.
But
I
imagine.
When I left there.
Imagine you walked in smoking. You turned it into another issue altogether. It's like you didn't have a problem before. Now you do.
Yeah.
You mind if I light up? You actually go into your pack as you're sitting down with the guy, and you're just so nonchalant,
dude,
about it. You kick back, you put the joint in your mouth, you go, you mind if I spark up?
Dude, one time I actually had a joint in my ear, And I went to the customer's door, and I rang the doorbell, and he fucking answered the door, and I was sitting there talking to him for like 2 minutes.
Oh, shit.
With it, and then I realized, I thought it was a cigarette, that's why. And then I went, I'm like, oh, shit, I was talking to this dude. So I just put a cigarette in my ear and went back and talked to him with the cigarette in the air. So I'm like hoping that he thought
he he saw something. That's good. Dude, that was smart. That's smart. A little consistency. Switch it up a little bit.
Then there's another time where I actually, like, I forget. Like, I had, and I got a, whatever. I got in trouble for it before, but whatever.
Joining us right now for the party, sitting in the room with us right now, Matt, is Johnny Kimball from Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
I didn't recently, in the past 6 months, we had a security system installed. Literally the best investment. It was through AT&T, so it was like a wicked deal if you were to price it out otherwise. But the amount of anxiety that is simply, I can, if I think so, like if I have my headphones on or something and I think someone opened a door in the house, I just have the tab open and I see when the last door was opened.
Yeah, no, dude, it's
awesome. So worth it.
Like, I can't wait until we put our full camera system back up in here, because what we did at the old studio was we came up with this idea, because reviewing the security camera footage at the studio is so awesome looking. It looks like every crime scene video that has ever been released in the news of people running down halls or somebody getting caught in a mugging. It looks exactly like that. And when we turned off, we had a couple of cameras on the interior of the studio as well, not just the outside and in the hallway. On the interior of the studio as well, those cameras, I mean, they, once it gets to a certain light, the night vision turns on. Mm-hmm. So whenever we would do things in a very dimly lit room, it always looked like we were ghosts if we just floated in. So we had all these ideas of doing skits, but filming them through the security cameras and like recurring bits, like, you know.
And just dubbing the audio, and then, oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because we were thinking of, you know, we should definitely kill each other. Like, at least a couple of times a month in different ways. Like, we always catch, and the running gag was Matt was always the one getting murdered. So, and because he just let us throw him against walls.
Remember I fucking threw myself down the stairs that one time?
Yeah, man, he threw himself downstairs. Like, whenever you pretend, once you get onto a level of comfort with Matt, that you can then start pretending to beat him up, he'll do anything for the act. He will do anything for the act. He's thrown himself downstairs. It's ridiculous. So I can't wait to have those security cameras up again. Those are great. Looking back at them, it's so amazing. It looks like he's getting murdered. Oh, God. What's the? Oh, but Johnny, how many cameras do you have?
I just have one. Okay. The reason I just have one is because it's on Wi-Fi.
Right.
And it actually points towards the house. So I can see the whole front of my house. And anytime someone, like, it's in a way where basically you can't enter the premises without triggering it.
That's awesome. Pretty cool. That is awesome.
And it'll record for like a minute.
But here's the
there are ways around it, which I will not explain.
Yeah, well, let me just say this, though. Now that you have equipped your dwelling with security in camera form, obviously you have weapons, obviously. I mean, you guys are pretty secure right now. You know everything, and your space is secure. But that really is your own personal CIA. You're collecting intelligence. You're filming everybody that walks in. So, isn't it funny how when you're in your own home, you tend to go overboard with nobody has privacy in my house. I want to know everything that goes on. And you're always trying to gather intelligence on people. You're playing mind games.
It was actually an inner dialogue I had with myself when making the decision on where to place the camera.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to have footage of myself. Like, I creep myself out by that a little.
Oh,
you know, now I get out, I, like, flip my camera. I'm the only one who can see it. I flip the camera off. I'm like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
But, no, I had an inner dialogue. And, like, I'm like, okay, so my dad came in and took a shower at, let's see here, 8, 8:30 this morning. All right. And then that was about an hour. All right. And I'm just like, why am I doing this?
And then you're cross-checking. You start, because you start knowing everything about everybody's habits, you just, I don't know, you start like, it's odd. It's odd behavior, but that's just what we do. We're just humans. And is it funny how the individual does it, but it just becomes a little bit more of a complex but similar wave in a group? That's all we're doing. We do as groups as well. Nations do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the line we draw between, you know, like an cap view to a even the minarchist view is, you know, the state. But can the state survey the people or survey the outside, just as I can survey my own property?
I mean, think of. Fuck! I almost had something. Think of, like, the relationships we have. Think of how we run our own household. Then think about nations. Think about the reason why nations have intelligence agencies. Because everybody wants to keep in touch with their friends. Everybody wants to, you know, ask how that so-and-so bastard so-and-so is doing. Have you heard about him? What is that asshole doing? You know, there's always the nations that other nations don't like and all that stuff. There's problems. There is bad blood. There's been past betrayals and mendings.
We go micro macro from neighborhoods to nations.
Totally.
Right.
It's amazing. What it really comes down to is, since that is just what it is on a larger scale, we know what emotions and what mindsets are pushing all this through. So all the bad relationships we have with our parents, you know, at certain phases in our lives that become good relationships and all this other stuff. You know, all those growing pains we go through is just what happens in societies as well. Just like you always have people you hate. You just don't know why. And but it happens on a national level. All of it is just, it's just magnified human behavior. It's just ridiculous.
A funny human behavior thing I think you might appreciate it is, I live near an airfield, very near an airfield, and when a plane crashes, which is annually to biannually, you know, probably an average of like 1.5 times a year, that's when I see all my neighbors. That is the most communal we get on this street. Is when there's some sort of minor tragedy.
Yeah.
And I just think it's, and I comment on it every time because I have one neighbor who I like kind of share a driveway with. And I'm like, this is kind of weird because we all only talk to each other, you know, when someone's almost dead.
Right.
But that's, it's kind of a human nature thing. When something happens, an event, anything, regardless, then people draw towards each other, want to gossip, want to talk.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love at least acknowledging it and figuring it all out because, hey, listen, this is our species. And it's very, very interesting to watch to see how we respond, at least in communal ways, in positive ways. It's a fucking sham to go and then study all the bad habits we have, you know? But for Christ's sake, it sure is interesting just to see things happen on micro and macro scales. And that's why all the everyday, I mean, you can give every nation their own character, you know, in a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Russia's going to be the bully on the playground, everybody's, or the misunderstood bully on the playground, maybe. Who knows?
We should do this with like office characters or something like that.
Yeah, okay, let's do this, because I think this would be a fun community project. If we are going to give the countries or nations around the world their own characters from a movie, do we stick to one movie? Do we allow people to expand into other movies? Or how about we just talk about character types?
Like tropes?
Yeah, tropes. There you go. Character tropes in the grand narrative, the grand scheme, the big movie that is everyday life on planet Earth. We should go through all the character tropes that each country represents in that great movie that we are living in.
I think you'd have to open it up a little bit, because things like a show, like, you know, the first show I think of only because, like, I just leave it on like you do all the time, The Office, a show that extends a period of time, every character gets more something, you know, that they have some development.
Yeah.
And a movie's the same way. So I think if you went with the trope act and maybe like assigned like a bunch, you know, like a handful of major ones and went from there, you could probably get some interesting conversation at least.
Totally. And then you think about that. You get, you fill in all the blanks, you put all the characters in. So you have all your players and you know what they bring to the table. You know how they roll and all that stuff. You start putting together a storyline, how those characters would tend to interact with each other, given their strong suits, given their style of dealing with problems or addressing hardship, whatever it is. And you play those characters off each other. I bet you any fucking money, every time, you are not only describing something that is very common in human beings' lives as individuals, you know, all that shit. But then, of course, you're probably telling the story of the universe five times over. That's just it.
The only thing we'd have to be careful of is not making a BuzzFeed article. The top 10 biggest countries assigned as office characters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That just hit me as we were talking about this.
Oh, week. Can you imagine that? Okay, so Dwight would have to be... who would Dwight be? Germany? No, but he's
no,
Germany's
like,
weak, bro.
He's too into guns and...
It depends
self.
On where you... Like, what part of a country you pick. Are we talking the country's government? Or the people?
No, we're talking about the attitude of the country as a whole. You know, do they have a, you know, what their government espouses, what their culture espouses, and, you know, what the people tend to be, even if there are dicks in office, you know? Like, right now, what we're seeing coming out of Europe, what I'm really scared about, is the same thing that I think a lot of people have been making... observations of from around the internet, on air, and everywhere else, is that it seems like the European male is been deballed and their will to fight is not there. And not for any lack of love for one's country, than it is everybody feels like they're restrained by all of the political correctness that's going on. To the fault that they're not listening to people, and they're not seeing how adversely people are being affected. And
Europe is strange.
It's very strange. I know that there are proud, strong men out there that are ready to do what must be done to defend their country and clean things up. But you can't have any rational adult conversations. Because
what I think it might draw back to is the legislated censorship through things like Germany. Like, Germany, you will get arrested if you do a Nazi salute. Right?
Mm.
So, anytime you start to, like... It opens that door. Like, you know, you did Slippery Slope all night last night. But
yeah.
It opens that door of the wrong thing. It's thought police. You know, the wrong thing gets you in jail that you think or you feel.
Yeah.
And that's what I think they may be fearful of.
Here, I have a couple things here. Look, this is from Breitbart. London editors warns Europe could have Muslim blasphemy laws within a decade. They're already starting to expand the definitions of what hate speech is. And, of course, places like London, where the mayor is a Muslim... They've already risen to... They're already pretty...
Does it feel like Europe gets accelerated in everything it does in comparison to America?
Well...
Like,
yes.
Like,
yes.
We've been talking about sleeper cells and things like this in this country since I can remember.
Because we've lagged behind them. They fell a lot quicker to the communism.
Is it because we're a stronger country, a less densely populated country? The checks and balances work better, so to speak.
I shouldn't say communism. I meant, once again, cultural Marxism.
Yes.
It's a gutting of nations, cultures, and identities that's going on right now. I hope people can look past what we've all been trained to see as that being a distasteful comment to make to some people, or at least some people would think that what's going on right now with the refugee crisis and has been going on with the displacement of millions of people who, in all respects, don't want to leave home. You know, they don't want that either.
It's such a shitty, shitty thing all around. Like,
seriously, man.
Like, as far as humanity goes, it is an awful situation because politicians use people like poker chips. And in that, make it the right thing to do to accept these people and this and that. And I was thinking about it earlier. Actually, I was having sort of the same conversation with my dad. And I was thinking, okay, so say the square mile around me got decimated, right? Like carpet bombed, but we managed to escape or something like that.
Right.
And I'm just talking generally, not even specifically a Syrian or whatever. And they landed me in India with the 20 or whatever, 30 families around me. I would probably live in a bubble too.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I would totally not want to assimilate.
I totally see that. Yes.
I'd want to go fucking home. Like, it's, I don't know. There's no good answer.
Yeah, no, I see, but here's the thing. Anybody with real empathy that can see that still can reconcile that, whereas, yes, that's got to be a major factor, we also need to be strong enough to do what needs to be done. They've got to go back home. The shit that's going on in their home, in their homeland, needs to stop. We've done enough damage as it is. But, when I see stuff like this, I just saw this this post before. I don't know any of the details. It was an image set. And it said, these are pictures from a liberated Manbij today.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
As SDF forces forced the last pocket of Islamic State fighters in the city into retreat. There are pictures of men cutting their beards, women smoking cigarettes, and burning their ISIS mandatory dress. Ladies and gentlemen, that's oppression right there.
That's what those people want.
That's what those people want.
They don't
want
to go to fucking Munich.
Okay. They want to be able to smoke cigarettes at home again. That's all they want.
Those pictures are always jarring to me because I think as, like, you know, as Westerners, we're just led to believe a lot of these people are just like pajama wearing farmers that don't know a thing about anything like culturally that we could relate to. These guys are wearing polos that baby's got a biper on. Diaper.
Biper.
But when you oppress the people, they look like no one I could identify with is wearing a full,
burka?
The whole nine yards. I don't know. There's a whole billion different of them.
Apparently the burka is not even in the Quran. And it's just, it's not, so I don't know. It's just one of those real oppressive.
Michael Savage called it a medieval Halloween costume. It was so shit like that.
Like you can't get the metal or it's too heavy.
A medieval Halloween costume.
Hold on. I would love to listen to a little Michael Savage right now. Yeah, you know what? Let's go. We'll listen to one of his him destroying somebody on air in a couple of minutes. But this is a really good conversation. We've touched on some really important stuff tonight, man. It's a really good conversation, and the music has been good.
You know, it's funny. We live this internet life a little bit, a lot, I think. You know, specifically someone like you that you or I that does a lot of this kind of. You know, we see what other people from living different lives than us think.
Yeah.
Right. I walk into work. What do I hear? David Price blew another fucking game for the Sox. I gotta pull a fucking permit so I can pay my goddamn driveway. What a goddamn joke that is. I can't pay my own fucking driveway without a permit?
Nope.
And it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about Trump. I mean, and it's not like I work with a bunch of old dudes or I work with a bunch of young guys. One kid has his ears gauged out where I could fit a beer can in between them, I think. You know, another kid just looks like a normal guy. Another one, you know, and then there's me. And then there's like 60-year-old dudes that do the same job. And, you know, we all got like a popsicle break on Friday because it was so fucking hot. Like someone brought popsicles in.
So it's like your own little world.
It is. And I'm just like, okay, we're all here. We all lead definitely different lives. Because I know a few of them I know their lives are completely different than mine. And yet we can sit in this break room and someone's like, what's this fucking, why does this break room smell so bad? And someone's like, well, maybe it's these fucking 12 dudes in here that have been sweating their nuts off in 90-degree weather. You know, and it's like, you know, there's some community in there. And it's just like, you can leave it, you know, you leave the discourse at home and you just bitch about the weather and bitch about the Sox and fucking do your work.
I like bitching about the Sox.
Yeah, it's great.
Let me tell you something, dude, about the Sox, though.
Drink. Sorry. That's a chat thing.
I've been feeling really, really excited about the Yankees lately. I really like Gary Sanchez. I have a good feeling about him. I have a good feeling about the team right now. I don't know what it is.
Let me ask you this. 10 years ago, did you ever think that the New York Yankees would be selling their three best players off?
Put it on. It's A-Rod's last game. Yeah, actually, just give me the remote control and I'll put it on. Damn.
If George was in charge, would this be happening?
I don't know. I don't know. What do you think would happen if George was still alive, Matt?
I think they would have outbid everyone for every free agent they could and bought at the deadline.
They got a lot. What. I don't know. They got a lot of great stuff out of this dude. I'm telling you.
But that's my like that's what I grew up. That's the Yankees MO.
Oh yeah.
Is like go out, the bankies, spend the money, cap, doesn't matter.
We'll pay the luxury tax, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Rain delay? Oh, shit. Is it raining?
Is it raining there? We had a storm cloud come through, but...
I know, I heard... Oh, maybe it did hear thunder before. See, I'm telling you, here comes the storm to wash it all away. Let's hope it keeps going and gets cooler. So, what I want to say tonight, number one, now it's 7:39. Let me see what's going on in the chat room. Also, I want to give, I know that Moonlit Matt and Mad Mints. Let me see. Let me see.
Did the Yankees make the playoffs last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they backed into the playoffs last year, and they lost in a play-in game.
Oh, right. They made the play-in.
Yeah, the wild card.
I don't know if do we call that? I don't think I call that making the playoffs.
No. Well, it is. It's
like
just
I understand
your first
you're in
game.
The dance, but it's like.
No. It is the playoffs, dude. Because from that moment on, both teams have their destiny in their own hands.
True.
So it's already the postseason for them. The everything else is done.
I just feel like the 7-game thing is such a baseball thing, and I know obviously it's in basketball and hockey as well, but the 7-game stretched out thing is so baseball that it's hard to deal with the 1-game thing.
Yeah, 1-game is tough, really is, because anything can happen, especially in baseball. Especially in baseball. That game gets messy quickly. Real quick.
Baseball's so cerebral that it's like... it's so, you know, there's a guy on local radio, he says, you know, when a pitcher's having trouble and he doesn't think their mechanics are wrong, he says, it's between the ears.
Yep.
He's got problems between the ears.
That's all it is. But that's life. Problems between the ears. that's what I should do. I should, I'm going to write something called Problems Between the Ears. That's it. That things that I can just blame on. I can blame that on. Okay, so Rogue One trailer. That was awesome. I want to say that.
I you know, I was trying to post that in the Zadalza Facebook group. Because I was surprised it wasn't up there within 30 seconds when you saw it. But
yeah.
The only thing I feared when watching that was the drone, that the rebel drone. Not drone, droid.
Oh, the droid.
When he said the percentage thing.
Like a 3PO.
And I was like, eh.
If that's as far as they reach,
I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. I really am. Because, you know,
don't go
droids,
picking, like...
Droids should be squares. They should be a little bit of a square.
Yeah.
You know? But, although I like that R2 is just obviously very sassy.
Oh, he's a major bitch.
Bastard. I love
it. Did I read somewhere that he actually has a script? Like, there are words said for him?
Oh,
maybe that was Chewie.
Well, I have to imagine Anthony Daniels has to respond to something. So yeah,
you know, so like, okay, Chewie says this. Like, I just think of The Force Awakens. Like, he's getting medical help, and the nurse is like, "Oh, you're very brave," you know, kind of condescendingly, like a little kid.
Yeah,
and you know he says words there, but he doesn't say them.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of. Space fantasy.
Or it isn't even space fantasy. There's a little bit of human communication there. You ever run into someone who can barely fucking speak English? And you can still communicate with them to some extent?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I had a great aunt. No, no. Was she a great aunt? I don't know. I just have an old woman's face that I used to see a lot when I was a kid. And my parents always, you know, I think... Somebody said something to her a couple of times in my presence, and somebody explained that she doesn't really she can understand English, but she only really speaks Italian. You know, so one of those earlier generation types, Matt. You know, he had some of the real old ones that they have the hairy moles and all that stuff.
I had a French, a math professor who had French grandparents, and he like grew up in like. Real French Canadian, like his grandparents did not speak English.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of experience. It's very interesting.
But they understand English?
I don't. This guy was like old as dirt when he was teaching me. Must have been like.
So if you think about Chewie, then.
It must have been still. They hadn't been. Canada hadn't been independent probably when he was a kid at their house in. Quebec.
So pretty much Chewie understands English, but he only speaks Italian. Okay? And some people can just speak English and Italian. They can speak the full languages, I mean. Shit.
Yeah.
So then that makes sense. It's a little bit more work for the... No, because he has to have an ear for English.
But his tongue has to work like English too. He's also not a human.
I don't think we have to. We don't have to put the pressure on him to learn English. We all understand.
No, I totally get what he's saying all the time.
Totally, we understand him. So it's
fine. You're cold.
Oh, you're. I love that movie. I hate what it was turned into for me on the internet, but I love that movie.
That's why my favorite thing to do with a movie. Is know nothing about it and just dive in.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Anything. Even a classic, like, you know, whatever. A Kubrick movie or, like, Pulp Fiction or anything you can think of. It's so much better for me to not deal with, like, it being a cult classic or something like that. And then just watch it. And then read about it.
Totally. Good order, too. Hey...
Also, Chewie very well could have been cold. He comes from a jungle country, so as planet, so
I don't know. Like, I don't believe it. That's way too much fur. Too much. He's insulated. He was built for things.
I think he has a double coat, like a husky.
That would be a cool defense mechanism. That they actually they grow excess once it starts getting colder. So
I mean,
Chewie
that's what
looks like
that's
a
what
lion.
My dog does.
Damn.
It's pretty impressive because you can't shave her,
right?
Or give her a haircut because it won't grow back, because the insulation actually keeps her like kind of a equilibrium status. She can run out in the cold or run out in the hot. It doesn't really bother her.
She ran right out into the hot.
Yes, right into the hot. The heat.
Well, hey, okay. So listen to this, Matt. You're gonna like this. A weak economy is responsible for rampant swoleness. What's swole, you might ask?
Wait, a weak economy? Swole? Like,
yeah.
Working out, bro?
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Sah, dude, you swole? Fuck,
yep.
Bro?
Yeah. Poor economies impact countries in a number of detrimental ways, including higher rates of poverty, unemployment, and chronic disease. Now, a new study shows that the bad economy is to blame for another unfortunate trend, the rise of hashtag swoleness. Skim through any fitness enthusiast's Instagram and you'll find allusions to being swole.
Quickly, what is this from?
This is from the New York Post.
I was thinking Huffington Post, but
yeah.
Quick, go on.
Or in Herculean shape. Since the 2008 economic crisis, more men have taken to social media to post images of their fit bodies, according to the Journal of Gender Studies report. Oh, God. Somebody will actually get a degree. And that'll be something that they'll have studied one day.
Well, should we touch upon what we were discussing earlier?
Imagine this pointless information. That's what somebody's going to study one day. It's just a delusion.
It's
going to
be when someone has a meme degree in, like...
Oh, there'll be meme degrees.
In 2060.
Dude, there's going to be meme degrees because it's going to be rationalized as some spin-off of, you know, comic book. It's art. It's an art form unto itself. Telling you, it's going to be rationalized one day. There will be a meme degree. You get a master's in memery.
What did you do your thesis on? I did it on the Harambe death of 2016 and the subsequent meme collapse.
The meme collapse of 2018.
Because we didn't have anything to meme about.
Yeah, what would happen? What would have to happen to the world if in 2018, everything was so bland and something went wrong with there's absolutely nothing to invert and flip around and turn into some kind of a joke. What the hell would have had to happen to society for that to be a possibility?
I think the original memes, like the old macros you'd see and things like that, were things that didn't mean anything at all. Like, even things that aren't that old to me, just thinking, the really photogenic guy that was running.
Yeah.
He got memed all the hell. There's nothing wrong with that. And then you even go back, you know, the advice mallard or whatever.
Yeah.
The awkward penguin. I'm thinking about all those, but those aren't to the extent of, like...
Like the Ermagerds and all that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're talking, like, old stuff, like...
Bad Luck Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's now like way too old and it's weird.
I know.
Makes me feel old.
Yeah.
And I'm not. But the Harambe thing has expanded. Like, you can
amazing.
Be at a bar. At, like, I was at UNH, University of New Hampshire, like last Thursday. We may have been indulging in some drinks. And I just said out loud, and we're on a porch of this bar, and I said, "Dixo!" And like, three or four, five dudes go for Harambe.
Dude,
so it's definitely
I took a picture of that kid.
The internet.
Totally, I just took a picture of this kid in Elevation Burger because I told that was one thing I didn't finish before. I said that I was getting increasingly more nauseous because I took a higher dose of fish oil today than I used to. It was just because I swigged the fish oil bottle. I don't even put it into a spoon anymore. So sometimes I take too much. And all of a sudden, my stomach is in fucking knots. And so I said, okay, well, I got to eat something because the empty stomach and the water was killing me. It's getting all crampy and shit. So I went to Elevation Burger. I got myself a kid's burger and a side of fries. And I watched. I was watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia right there because I hopped onto somebody's Wi-Fi. And I'm watching this on Netflix. And I'm just sitting there chilling out watching this episode. I think it's like episode 1, season 9. And I see this kid coming from across the parking lot because I'm sitting at my usual spot right at the front window of the place, inside, of course. And so I'm just looking out at the sidewalk. Sometimes the mommies are very...
Are you very particular very, about where you sit in a restaurant?
Not really. But this place, no? I just sit and I've just, you know, gone into a little bit of a routine. And usually the sights are great because you're talking about women coming from all over, especially like... Rye and all that stuff. So if you want to people watch sometime and just admire beautiful bodies, holy shit, all the yoga moms come out. But this was something different. This was another diamond in the rough I saw coming from a long, long distance. I saw the laser printed white outline of a gorilla on a navy blue shirt.
Did you know instantly?
I knew instantly because underneath the gorilla, I saw in the big, bold block letters, Harambe, and underneath it, 1999 to 2016. As soon as he walked in the door and I confirmed everything I had seen, I started laughing. I said, dude, my man, can I have your permission? I'll leave your face out of the picture. I need to take a picture of this T-shirt. And he said, oh, dude, absolutely, no problem. He had to be like 17 years old. The kid was so happy that he got some recognition for this shirt. Because you only wear this shirt if you're putting the bat signal up. You're trying to see who else out there knows what time it is.
It's like wearing a band T-shirt.
Yeah, man. So I took that picture, and it was just I said, I got to shake your hand. I said, this is funny. You made my day.
Seriously. May your dick self be forever.
Oh, my God. He will be wearing that shirt. He'll probably go home, wash it and dry it tonight, wear it again tomorrow. It's like, this is going to do wonders for my social life.
Is that something you would like, because I know it's something I know people that do and I've done before, is you go to a concert, buy a T-shirt of like your favorite band or the band, and you wear it like to school the next day or like the next day.
Oh, dude, yeah.
You know, to like be like, oh, what'd you do last night? What did I do? Hello?
Although the only band shirt I ever bought at a concert, like concert shirts, the only one I ever bought was for my first concert. And that was Metallica at Madison Square Garden for the S&M.
That's understandable.
So that I had to. It was, I think it was November. Well, I have it. November 21st? November something, 1999? Hold on, wait a second. Metallica, S&M, MSG. This, who you're listening to right now, this is Lamia. This is such a great song. Splitting Atoms. And I've been listening to this album for a long time. Since like 2007.
What would you even put a genre on this as?
I don't know. But I gotta say, she passed away very tragically from heart. I just think just from heart failure.
Ugh.
And in her, I think just at 30 or in her 30s. Such a great talent. And if you want to chill out to some really good music, look her up. Lamia. L-A-M-Y-A. And, the entire Splitting Atoms I think demo was amazing. That's with East of Anywhere. This is Splitting Atoms. Awesome shit. Dude, this, okay, you know what? Hey, Johnny, thank you so much for the call, man. I want to get full volume on this thing, so I'm going to hang up with you real quick.
Pump it up.
Okay, man. This was the first time that I actually ever heard the word juxtaposition. And I immediately I stopped this song and I had to go look it up. I thought it was such an amazing, amazing word, and I needed to know more about it and how it made the lyric make sense. And It's just good fucking music, man. It's just really funky. Great groove. It's like a almost like a power groove. As far into the power groove you can go in heavy metal with Pantera, as Phil Anselmo used to describe it as a power groove. And it is. We could listen to some Pantera later if you want. I don't care. But Lamia's in the opposite direction. Power groove, man. I love it. You know who I like as well a lot? Sade. There's some good chill-out music there. There's some good under-the-covers music there in the middle of a winter. Some good shit. Listen to this. Splitting Atoms. I'm going to leave you with this like for 30 seconds, 45 seconds. I got to take a break. Grab a little bit more water, and we'll just do a little bit of overtime. I'll be right back.
I was thinking of this plan of codes and anagrams divine, the juxtaposition of past and present time that was mine. I spent blind in someone else's state of mind. I lost my way in all the shades of gray and grades of shade. Shadows put away to be forgotten. I lost my way in all the shades of gray and grades of shade. Shadows put away.
I love this. Love this sound. And like I said, lyrics. I want to know what the hell a person is saying. One of the first things that I would always ask my mother when we were driving around listening to Cousin Brucey and CBS FM here in New York, the golden oldies and all that, I needed to know the words. And when I learned the words, I always asked my mother what they meant. I just remember it. It was instinct. I wanted to know what it meant. And my mom answered all my questions. So thank you, Mom. Good memories in the car with my mother. Especially going to her softball games when I was a kid. Got all my competitiveness from my mother. Holy shit. Michael Jackson, Off the Wall album, the entire way down to Stanford. She was still amped up. She was pumped. She was going to play. They hadn't lost yet. And they surely were going to lose. She was always happy with her performance, though. As we would walk back to her car with all the folding chairs and her bags and stuff like that. And I'm asking her about the game and all that. She's telling me what went wrong, you know, who did this, who did that, and if the umpire was bad or not. She'd give me the whole breakdown of what went wrong. She goes, "But I had a really good night. I had a really good night." It's my mom. So, I was raised by strong women. Well, some strong women, some overbearing women. So I got a good sense of how they can come, you know. How people come. And you know what? We respond to strength. Don't you think so? That isn't another thing we're talking about, things that go on in our personal lives that translate to how nations treat each other, because it is just a grouping of humans. You know, just because you add more people into a group doesn't mean that all of their egos and all the emotion and all that terrible stew that we make that drives us to do all of our dealings. You know, some of us are very, very, you know, to ourselves, liberty-minded, you know, whatever. But there's always those nation states, or your neighbors, who like to know everything that's going on in the on the street, on the block. They like to know what's going on the other side of town. They like discussing with their trusted sources. It's all the same thing. But we spy on each other all the time. You think that when we organize governments, all of that stuff that made us human goes away? No, that's why James Madison said it's so tough to form a government. Men were angels. Hold on. Federalist 51. Where the hell is it? Hold on a second. I want to get this quote out. That's all I do. Hold on. I think it's right here. If angel. Okay. Listen to this. The great security against a gradual concentration of the several powers in the same department consists in giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachments of the others. The provision for defense must in this, as in all other cases, be made commensurate to the danger of attack. Ambition must be made to counteract ambition. The interests of the man must be connected with the constitutional rights of the place. It may be a reflection on human nature that such devices should be made should be necessary to control the abuses of government. But what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? What have we fucking been saying all night? This is James Madison. We are agreeing with James Madison, guys. Jesus Christ. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. In framing a government which is to be administered by men over men, the great difficulty lies in this. You must first enable the government to control the governed, and in the next place oblige it to control itself. A dependence on the people is no doubt the primary control on the government, but experience has taught mankind the necessity of auxiliary precautions. And they put all types of auxiliary precautions in the Constitution in case that Congresses and Senates went rogue, along with an executive branch. And that's right down to the state legislatures. Article 5. See, this is why when people talk about, yeah, the Constitution is outdated. Are you telling me that philosophy is outdated? People look at the Bill of Rights and think that's all there is. Yeah, okay, you have the Constitution itself. Government gets set up. Then you have the Bill of Rights. And like, that's all there is. Boom, Amendment 1, 2, 3, 4. That's it. No, there is a world of debate behind every one of them. Chronicled. Published works so that everybody knew for the generations to come why these things were put in place and the basis that they've been founded in a philosophical way. Okay? These things they're not just a couple of sentences to be interpreted however activist Supreme Courts and everything else want to interpret it. Okay, obviously you cannot put a novella in for each amendment of the Constitution. You can't have 15,000 pages of writing and philosophy and justification and history to back up claims in your Constitution. It tells you, boom, this is what it is, this is what it is, and everything else, the explanation for everything we've done, is now here enshrined in the walls of the Library of Congress. And everywhere else, too. It's all there for us. That's what I'm talking about. Man, that feels good. I felt like it just rang my own bell. I can go to sleep right now and be totally fine. Totally fine with what I did today. And why? Did we solve anything? Did we solve any of the world's problems? No. No, but you know what? We got ourselves, hopefully you guys did. I might just be talking mad to some of you. Who knows? But hopefully, as long as you have those little aha moments to yourself and you keep getting it more often when things make sense, mechanics of things make sense, and you start having those aha moments more often and often and often because you know what you're looking for, you're connecting dots, you're getting better, you're thinking quicker. If we can have this, if we can all just have those experiences, that'd be really good. I think that'd be good for the whole, if everybody's having those experiences as an individual. Whole bunch of enlightened people walking around all day. Good heads on their shoulders. They're not riled up because they're not confused. I mean, a rabid dog is a confused dog. A rabid dog... Well, not rabid. I guess so. There's that state of confusion. Right, Matt? Rabid dogs? You ever have to deal with a rabid dog?
No. I don't do domestic animals.
No?
No. I just do wildlife. That's... You know.
Just wildlife?
Yep.
But you get... Oh, okay. Okay, so then if it's a feral cat, you'll go and pick it up. But if not, if it's a house cat stuck somewhere.
I'll do a cat. I ain't gonna do a dog.
I'm gonna take that sound clip. Every once in a while, I'm going to just cue it up. I'll do a cat. I ain't gonna do a dog. That would sound funny in certain contexts. Well, in either case, I think that's where we're gonna end tonight. 808. What's going on, Splunk, in the chat room? First time I've seen you here. Welcome. And, of course, Rumble and Roar. Raven Girl, Frankie Castle, good to see you back, my friend. Nikki, Moonlit Altar, Johnny Varum. Bunch of other people who are watching but not in. What did the...
CC just gave up a home run because he also should have been someone they let go of.
It's the top of the first, dude. Relax. The Rays are sucking right now. The Yankees should have a good weekend right now. They're going to have a pretty full house this weekend. You heard that the 1996 team is getting back together? Like, all of them are getting back together on...
Play? Hopefully?
Tomorrow night or something.
They're going to play tomorrow night's game and definitely going to win.
That would be weird. That would be weird if for one night the 1996 Yankees came back to play against whoever was on the schedule that night. That would be really weird. I wouldn't be... You know what? I don't know. Wade Boggs
would get on base like three times. Tino could still hit home runs. Paul O'Neill could fucking still hit.
Apparently, Paul O'Neill claims, and he's made this claim on the Yankees broadcast quite a few times, that he hasn't swung a bat since that last day.
That doesn't matter.
Now, I don't know if that means that he hasn't swung. He never. I don't know how you can play baseball your whole life and then not even swing a bat in jest. But I don't know. We'll see. I want to hit a home run out of Yankee Stadium. Let's go do it, dude. Steroids. All right, guys. See you all soon. The Skype was on tonight. Johnny Vroom is testament to that. Thank you, Johnny, for joining us. And, guys, I hope you have a fantastic... What else I want to talk about tonight? Nah, we are all right. I was going to... The one other thing I want to talk about was the whole Trump and Clinton camp conspiracy theory about Trump actually being there to help Clinton get in and make an otherwise terrible, a criminal, an outward terrible candidate that nobody would be able to be beaten by. Anybody with even a semi-decent record of being a decent human being. Because of the way that he was handling this ISIS founder thing. Telling that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are the founders of ISIS. And leaving it at that. Leaving it in such a reductive form like that. Makes you think stuff like that. Makes you wonder. Makes you really wonder. If he's not here to help her win. To help her deflect away and give her everything she needs. To just let all of the trail of destruction and dishonesty that has been her life and her life's work roll down her back. He's been like an umbrella for her. Seriously. He's been like an umbrella. So, that conspiracy theory, we have to get into that a little bit more. And maybe we can pull out some things that also can point to that being so. Because I really think there's something there. I really think there's something there. Splunk says, we'll go into the chat room here. Would the mainstream media be after him so badly if that were true? That's what I'm thinking too. So that's why I say, I want to know, is there any other evidence you guys can come up with that would actually support this? Because, yeah, Donald Trump could he be complicit in something like this? I mean, anything's possible. We're talking about humankind here. Anything is possible. The impossible has probably already happened. We just don't know about it. And you look at all of that. Is that something that you really want, or you really, really want to do to yourself, just to help somebody else get into office? I mean, this guy is hated. People hate this guy so much that people are getting beat with crowbars and shot after just simply declaring support. Or wearing t-shirts or hats. People are getting physically assaulted by these far left red shirts. You know, so I understand, you know. He could be that dark horse. And that would explain why that's all the mainstream media is doing. Is running his shit and just hacking him down. All the networks. Just taking turns. Like he's a redwood. So I don't know. There's things going for that theory. There's things going against it. I'd like to weigh that out with you guys, but it's already 8:14. Yeah, exactly. His business has been, well, I wouldn't say ruined. I think there's going to be people who are going to want to do business with him more. I think that he's going to be able to capitalize on a lot of it. But he also has so much more of a fierce opposition and a hatred out there. That people actually share as a common bond. People are actually socializing through this common bond. People that don't have friends are finding friends. That's really all this election has done. It's given people who are otherwise friendless and pretty lonely a way to reach out and get some kind of, you know, accolades. Even if it's from strangers. Because you guys only have to know each other so deep if that's going to be the basis of your relationship. So, I don't know. Yeah, the beauty pageant, I know. I'm telling you, for and against. But it does not make sense to me. There we go. I went and I talked about it anyway. I might as well just finish up. It doesn't make sense to me that he'll let this go on for the way that he did. No, you found it. And he leaves it there. No explanation. He's not talking about you know, them filling voids. He's not talking about the intelligence that was ignored by the Obama administration. What was going on in Libya? You're not taking any of that into context. He's not painting a picture for people. If he painted a simple picture to say this and this happened, no. Did they go and they log into LegalZoom.com and actually incorporate ISIS? Is that what Barack Obama did? Did he go and actually get them incorporated on LegalZoom for them and founded them officially? No. But you know what? For people who need an excuse to think otherwise, it did sound an awfully like it if you listen to what Trump said. It's ridiculous. So there's the evidence for and against. And that'll be it for tonight, guys. You got your overtime. So did I. And I still haven't thrown up, so this is a good thing. Talk to you guys soon. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Can't wait to see you here on Monday night again. And we'll do it all over again. I'll see you in the meantime on Tumblr and Twitter and all those other good things. Oh, and also, if you're on Tumblr, please follow my late night blog, my personal blog that I don't do any political stuff. It's called Stoned and Studying, all one word, or you can just type it in three words, Stoned and Studying on Tumblr. And that's a little bit more lighthearted stuff. And if you guys want to be a part of that blog, like be added to the blog so you can contribute to it, let me know. I just want to do really cozy type of stuff on that blog, and I think it comes out pretty good. So check that one out. Talk to you guys soon. Be well. And also, one last thing to Moonlit Matt, even though he's not here. Nah, he's not here. He's already watched the entire episode, so he's probably not going to listen to it again. So I'll just tell him in private. Talk to you guys soon. Be well, and take it easy. Whoops.